You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources.
Is this thing on?
Okay, you know what? You started out sounding like Darth Vader.
Did I?
And then it sounded like Freddy Krueger.
I'm your father.
Okay, the funny thing is earlier
Star Wars is out.
Yes, Star Wars is out. And Todd Adkins called you his arch nemesis.
No way.
On the podcast.
No way.
And we actually came up, I don't remember which episode this was, but he actually said, hey, maybe we should give theme music to Ed.
Oh, that's awesome. Dun, dun, dun.
Anyways, so go to newchurches.com and there's, I don't know where we are. Just go.
Just
and visit.
Go there and like rate us or something.
Exactly.
Unless you don't like us, and then go to Todd Adkins' podcast and rate that really bad.
Right on. So we're going to do another giveaway today by Adam May. His title was a little lackluster. It said great resource, but he gave us 5 stars.
Okay. We need better titles.
Yes.
Like stop listening now.
So this is what Adam May said. This is a great podcast for anyone in any leadership position at all in the church. Right, so thank you, Adam. Send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, or shoot me a DM on Twitter, and we'll send you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and pen. All right, well, today's question is from Todd Corpy, and let's listen to it now.
Hey, guys, my name is Todd Corpy, and my wife, Tara, and I are the pastors of a church plant here in Flint, Michigan, called The Cathedral, which we launched back on March 1st of this year. To kind of give you a background on where we are, Flint is the birthplace of General Motors, definitely a Rust Belt town, home to some hardworking people, and it's really a great place to be. But it's also rated as the most post-Christian city in Michigan and one of the most post-Christian cities in the United States. And my question really is around driving engagement and involvement in the church community with being in this post-Christian context. We have a lot of people that are not used to being church being a part of their lives. How would you recommend we drive value home to people that church can be a vibrant part of their lives?
Now, just before we get to the question, I'm a big fan of Todd Corpy. He actually, when we were rewriting Planting Missional Churches, we sent out a big Google sheet saying, hey, if you have any stories or church planting stories, just submit it in. And Todd had such a fantastic story that we actually wrote him into Planting Missional Churches.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. doing good work in Flint, Michigan. As you know, he quoted some statistics that I'm not familiar with, but certainly a challenging context, historically a declining community, more recently historically a declining community, lots of challenges there. So let's talk through his question. I mean, how would you respond?
Yeah, well, so how do you help the surrounding community understand that church can be a valuable part of their lives? I think the question that this starts from is the whole idea of, hey, if your church were to disappear tomorrow, would anyone notice? And part of that is not necessarily thinking about it in the sense of, hey, this is your church. And, you know, you said your church's name was The Cathedral. Say, hey, what does our entire community think about The Cathedral? I think more important than that is what does your community think about the people in your church who make up The Cathedral? So what kind of missional rhythms are you and your people living out so that the community is transformed by Jesus and, you know, by virtue, affected by your church?
Good. I'm guessing that having been in Buffalo, New York, which at the time was the fastest shrinking city in America, that one.
I don't think I've heard of it like that.
Oh no, really? For a while there, it was just people were evacuating the city.
Okay.
Flint has gone through a lot of that as well. One of the things that happens is there's also a negativity towards churches because they're nonprofit organizations that take up services but don't pay taxes, and so there's a bit of a negativity. I'm thinking that's part of his question. I could be wrong, and he can send us in and correct that. But as such, sometimes you get in that situation that you're sort of having to say, you know, that yes, we're not paying taxes, but we're still part of this community. What I would say is it's okay to communicate. And studies actually show just how valuable churches are to a community, providing social services, safety nets to people, helping people connect and care for one another. So I would, when I'm communicating in the broader community, I would not be apologetic about accentuating the positive contribution that your church makes, helping students make wise choices, you know, helping marriages stay secure, helping people make decisions that we know that when people come to Christ, and missiologists call this redemption and lift. When they're redeemed, they tend to be lifted socioeconomically because they make better choices, right? Followers of Jesus don't engage in some of the same bad habits or practices. Not that we don't have bad habits or practices, but you know, you'll get cleaned up on this or that or get out of this or that. So what I would say is accentuate to community and civic leaders that you want to be part of the solution, that you're here because you care. I remember when we moved into Buffalo, the mayor, Jimmy Griffith, I think. He called me Eddie. He called me Eddie. I have no idea. I never told him that. He just called me Eddie. Yeah. Pastor Eddie. He said, "Why are you moving into the city when everyone else is evacuating the city?" And I said, "Jimmy, can you call me Eddie? I'm gonna call him Jimmy." I said, "Jimmy, because we want to care for the city. Someone needs to care for the city and be a part of the city." So the end result is that yes, we are unapologetic about saying that we give back. And that's one of the reasons. Now, there's a lot more historic reasons why churches are tax-exempt. But one of the reasons that tax-exempt is there is because we may not pay taxes, but the investment we have in people is far more than the taxes we don't pay.
Yeah, so just as you would do just as you have done some contextualization and studying the demographics of your area before you planted, for all of you listening, I would even encourage you to do a study to say, okay, in what ways is our church currently giving into the city and investing into the city and into the community? And perhaps that could actually be your first step towards a greater contribution towards your city, right? Because as you begin polling the community and polling your church members to see how each of y'all are involved in your church and in your community, you might actually sense or discover new things that God is wanting to do, right? Maybe you have three or four people who are heavily invested, or maybe it's 10 or 12 people who are heavily invested into the schools and have a passion for a local elementary school. So maybe that becomes one of the things that your church commits to doing. One thing that I deeply appreciate about Saddleback with what they're doing with Celebrate Recovery is the state of California actually would rather have Celebrate Recovery in all their prison systems. And it's one of the approved things, one of the approved programs within the prison systems because of the impact that it's made upon the lives of those prisoners.
Yeah, it was funny. I just talked to David Sean, who's the executive pastor, one of the executive leaders over a lot of their mission and ministry. Great guy, friend of many years. And when he talks about all the difference they're making. And so don't be apologetic about doing that. Mm-hmm. But also try to make that difference. You know, one of our campuses is deeply engaged with the elementary school next year, which is a decent elementary school, but not as high performing as some of the others. So we're their safe place, right? They had a bomb threat and they all came over to our church. So we had all these kids running through. We're literally right next door on this campus.
Right on.
We minister to them. They've been a partner with us and they have to be careful in ways that are legal and appropriate. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is find some ways, celebrate those ways, tell your church about those ways, tell your community about those ways. And I think ultimately people will see, we'll get a picture of a church that cares about its community. You know, was it that Robert Coleman used to, was it? No, what Robert Coleman, Robert Lewis. Mm-hmm. He talked about, if your church were to disappear tomorrow, would anyone notice? Well, what we know is that in this case, in Flint, they would notice.
Yeah.
But for all of those who are listening, engage your community. Your primary call is to join Jesus on his mission. I'm not saying you simply exist to be a social service agency, but part of joining Jesus on his mission is proclaiming the gospel. Part of it is demonstrating the implications of the gospel by serving the hurting and caring for our community.
Yeah, and make sure that your church members are, it's not just that your church has a relationship with your community, but make sure that your people are at a personal level, having ongoing relationships with, you know, the local principal or local businesses or people within the areas that you are investing into, so that more natural opportunities come up for you to proclaim the gospel, not only in good works, but also in word as well.
Yeah, and I think that's key. I mean, if we're going to model Jesus, our ministry after Jesus' ministry in our community, in Luke chapter 4, he inaugurates and announces his public ministry. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to preach good news." And talks about the poor, the blind, the captive. The same Jesus in Luke 19:10 said, "I came to seek and save the lost." So let's serve the hurting. Let's be about saving the lost. And let's make an impact in our community. But what I'm also saying is, don't be afraid to tell your church you're making an impact in your community. Don't be afraid to tell the community leadership you're making an impact in the community. Churches sometimes can get a negative reputation as parasites financially on a community. That's not you. Let the world know, let your church know that that's not what you're about.
Yeah, so everything that we've just said, does that apply to a post-Christian area as well as a more of a Bible Belt type of area?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it applies. everywhere, because maybe in a Bible Belt area, there's a perception that you have a value just because you are. You know, the mayor might be a Christian and say, it's great, you're reaching more people. But
church would still want to be involved.
Yeah, exactly. And because that's joining Jesus on his mission. Yeah. That's the way of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But flip it on the other side. Is that in an area where the church isn't as highly valued, or particularly in declining, you know, urban Rust Belt cities, the church? I mean, this is a big issue. I mean, when we're having conversations in some places in the Northeast, I mean, there's a sense that they see churches as parasites and drains, and they're trying to find ways to tax them, things of that sort.
Yeah.
And I get that, user fees and all that sort of stuff, and I get that that's a challenge. So what I would say is part of what I think you need to do that I think may undergird a little bit of his question, if not, maybe it's helpful to others, is that you've got to tell the community what you're doing in the community so they know you care about the community.
Yeah. And part of that also is telling your church through stories, through your stories and sermon illustrations as well, creating that culture within your church so that you're not the only cheerleader and champion telling your community, but your people are as well. Right on. Well, thank you again for listening to today's episode. If you have a question about church planning, multi-site, or multiplication, just go to newchurches.com, click on the sidebar that says send voicemail, and in 45 seconds or less, introduce yourself and ask your question. We'll be answering one question per show. So thanks again for listening in, and we'll see you next time.